From the 11th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. He was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him." And he says in reply from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything." If I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You know how at work when you have to give a presentation or you have to teach somebody to do something or whatever it is, and it changed, you're giving the same teaching, the same substance every time you teach it, but it might vary based on the audience, or you might forget one little piece or a point there or here, or maybe the people that you're teaching to or giving the presentation to themselves might forget some of the things that you said if they were taking notes, for instance. It's the same with our Lord's sermons. Here in this 11th chapter from St. Luke, we have a different version of the Lord's Prayer, but in the same substance. Maybe he had a couple versions, depending on who the audience was. Or maybe St. Luke just caught our Lord on a different kind of day than, well, St. Luke, the people who caught our Lord on a different kind of day, St. Luke heard from them, as opposed to St. Matthew's favorite time that he heard him say it. But it's the same substance. And this prayer, the Our Father, is the summation of all of our Lord's teaching. First, we praise God. Then we ask him for what we need. We beg pardon for our sins, and we ask for the grace to avoid sinning again in the future. And it's all based on confidence, that peace that comes after the Lord's Prayer in this chapter, that whatever we ask for, if we believe that we have already received it from the hand of our Father, it will be granted to us. Notice how the Lord gives this prayer in direct response to the disciples' request to learn how to pray. They know that he will give them what they ask for, and he does. They're already doing it. They're already praying, expecting, knowing that when they ask, it will be given. And in teaching us how to pray, our Lord sets before us things themselves that engender confidence in us, confidence in him in us. The loving kindness of a father implied in the first 2 words. Simply calling God our Father causes confidence in our hearts because it makes us consider his love for us, his care for us. "Daddy, I'm hungry. Here's an egg. Here's a fish. Not a scorpion or a snake. Saying that he is the Father who art in heaven is also meant to instill confidence in us because it points to his unlimited power. We have confidence in his help, not just because of his goodness, but because of his power. He wants to do it, and he can do it. And he will do it if we ask. Praying that his name should be made holy is praying that we come to recognize that his name is holy, that the whole world might come to the knowledge of him which Christ came to reveal. Since this knowledge of God is best seen in the holiness of his servants, we pray that God's glory may be manifest in us. Hallowed be your name. Shine your glory through us. Ultimately, though, praying for his glory is realized in our eternal possession of him in heaven. And everything else that we pray for is ordered to this. God does not command that he be glorified by us in any other way than our achieving salvation. God does not command that we glorify him in any other way than becoming saints. And praying for his kingdom to come is likewise a prayer that his kingdom be made manifest in us, a prayer for our ultimate happiness. Pray that we may come to possess heaven. Hallowed be your name. Make us saints. Your kingdom come. Make us saints. Praying for God's will to be done is like saying to a doctor, do whatever it takes to make the sick person well. Our hearts and our happiness, bring them into perfect alignment with your will. Give us this day our daily bread. A prayer of confidence that God will take care of all of our basic needs, spiritual needs, material needs. It's the manna in the desert, fulfilled in the Eucharist. Give us this day our daily bread. Renew in us daily, Lord, the effects of Holy Communion. Let us, by trusting that you will indeed give our daily bread, let us renounce our worry concerning the past, the present, the future. Lord, make us cling to your providence in this moment only, moment by moment. And forgive our debts as we forgive those who have been indebted to us. At first, it seems like we're asking God to treat us in accord with the way we treat others. But we can have no merit in the face of him who created us. So we simply must adopt a posture of gratitude. Forgive us our trespasses. Give us the grace to allow ourselves to be forgiven and to forgive those that you have put in our way. Thank you for that grace. It's we who have to reflect God and his forgiveness of us to others. It's not that God judges us according to our standards. We're recognizing the fact that we never cease to sin. But we're also expressing firm hope in the mercy that he has promised us unflaggingly. And then lead us not into temptation. Do not allow us to take the way that leads to sin, but protect us from the devil. And give us strength to resist his oh-so-insidious temptations. Change our hearts, Lord. Grant us the grace to decide with the heart today, to live by the Spirit, to live by the way you lead, including leading us out of temptation. a victory that is only possible by your granting it. Also, deliver us from evil. Do not abandon us as our sins deserve, but we plea that in our confidence of your love for us, that you will give us the grace of final perseverance and not let us fall. Not let us fall at the end of this long, hard fight into the clutches of Satan. Deliver us from evil, Lord. We bring before you all the distress of the world, along with the deliverance from the evils that overwhelm all of humanity. We implore the precious gift of peace and the grace of perseverance in expecting your return. The Amen, with which we cap it off, gives us the confidence that in persisting in our prayer, like in the parable of the child or the neighbor asking for bread, in our persistence, it will be granted to us. My Lord and my God, I believe that you are here. I believe that you see me and that you hear me. I believe that whatever I ask you, if it be for your glory and my good, it will be granted as soon as I have asked it. If I believe that it is granted as soon as I have asked it. I adore you with profound reverence, and I ask your grace for this time with you to be fruitful in my heart and in the hearts of all of those I meet.